I had like not depressive moments, not that, but darker moments than I usually have. When I was around about 31, 32, that age, not a very good football player, but the future was not clear. So everybody told me always that I'd be fine for me. But probably you know that as well. You by yourself are not all, you are not always sure about that.
You are a driven international professional or manager, have achieved quite a bit already, but are asking yourself from time to time, what do I really want? How do I want to work and live? Then this is your podcast. I'm Gina Friedrich, career and life coach for people who want to actively shape their future. Every second Thursday, I release interviews for you with inspiring, successful, as well as renowned international personalities from the world of business, NGO, and sports. They all will share with you what these questions mean to them, how they handled obstacles in their lives, and shaped their journey to where they are today. You are curious and don't want to miss anything? Visit me on gina-friedrich.com or sign up for this podcast right here. And now, let yourself be inspired on your very personal journey towards the future that you wish for. Hi! Thanks for listening to episode 6 and the second part of my interview with Jürgen Klopp, this time in English. I'm happy to have you spending some time with me today. Jürgen lives in Liverpool and is the coach of the Liverpool Football Club. Together with his team, he won this year's Champions League. He started his career as a pro himself, playing for Mainz 05 while studying sports sciences. Overnight, he became the coach of his team. He joined Borussia Dortmund afterwards and became the German champion 2 years in a row with his team there. During my interview with Kloppo, he talks about a reoccurring dream he had and how he faced his worrying thoughts around a time after his pro career. He shares how he experienced darker moments in his life at that time and feeling insecure about how his future would look like. We talk about how a decision he didn't like initially turned out to become a life changer and what having a purpose in life means to him. It is also quite inspiring how he explains why challenging himself from time to time helps him check out his personal limitations. Off we go! Hello again, Jürgen.
Hello.
Here we are for the second part of this interview after we just had the first one, which we held in German. So welcome back and great to have you here again.
Yeah, I'm still here. All good. Let's start.
Let's get started with a zoom in on the person Jürgen Klopp. And why don't you share with us the key values that are driving you?
The key values. Wow. Yeah, is it honesty? I have to think about it. I usually don't think about myself like that. And yeah, it's honesty. It's character. You need to have character. You need to have a character. You can show character. And very important, you don't have to be perfect. It's always we hide our character sometimes a little bit. And most of us are quite nice people. But we will never really realize that because we try to be like everybody wants us to be. So from that point of view, I would say character is very important. Key values. I don't know really. I don't think like this. I have for sure a lot values, but I never thought about that and naming them.
Yeah, you just mentioned two. Those were the ones that you had in mind first. That's fine. That's already giving our listeners a little bit more information about you as a person. So thanks for that. I am curious. Was there like one big aha moment in your life that brought you closer to understanding how you want to work and live?
It started when I was 14, sitting on the table in my parents' dining room, and we were talking again about all the things in that area in the Black Forest, what's important there, what's important. I realized nothing of that feels like it's important to me. Mm-hmm. Like clean the street and Saturday morning, if you don't do it, then people think you are either way ill, seriously ill, or just lazy. And only as an example, yes, I liked my youth. I loved my childhood, liked my youth, but it was clear I need a different surrounding to flourish, if you want. And that was the first moment. And when I was 20 and done my A level, where I went for 2 weeks on holiday and left after these 2 weeks to Frankfurt to study, to play football and all that stuff. So it was always clear to me that I have to go somewhere different. Let me say like this, and that was the first moment. And then when I did what I did, then I realized pretty early that I want to be a football coach, a manager, and it was based on a dream I had from time to time that people realize when I slept, a real dream. When I slept, and I realized, or in the dream, people told me, "You can't not play football at all." Yes, I know. But my answer is, I know, but I love it too much to stop doing it. And so it was. If somebody would ask me at 25, look, you cannot play football, but you can be the coach of that team, what do you think? I would have said immediately, yes. Mm-hmm. Because that was clear. It took a bit longer, like 8 years longer, I think, when I was 33 then. But then exactly the situation happened without they said to me, you cannot play football, but the rest was like it was in my dream.
So there was a trigger inside of you showing up in your dreams, telling you what your path will be one day. That's an interesting story.
Yeah, and it's the truth. I had this dream very often. It was not a dream at that moment, to be honest. But
not very empowering, right? I mean, waking up in the morning. In the first part of the interview, we talked a bit already about your path and your time as an active playing pro and also as a coach. Did you ever have a period in your life where you felt stuck?
Yeah, but before I became a manager, I had that. Mm-hmm. It was, again, a true story. That's big, but I had like not depressive moments, not that, but darker moments than I usually have. When I was around about 31, 32, that age, not a very good football player, but the future was not clear. So everybody told me always that I'd be fine for me. But probably you know that as well. You by yourself are not always sure about that. Mm. And I always thought, because the only thing I really wanted to do was the job I have now, but you don't really get that chance that easy, especially not with my career. And so I had these moments when I really didn't know exactly how my future will be. And I'm a very positive person, so I was surprised that time by myself, mm-hmm. that I had these moments, but only minutes, sometimes in the morning, that I had that. But there were moments when I thought, how will it be in the future? I'm not sure.
What did you do then to overcome these darker moments and these questions in your head?
Nothing really. It just happened. It was like 5 minutes or so, and then it was gone as well. So then I had to do the things I had to do over the day. So I couldn't think too much about me. I was pretty busy. I studied. I worked, and tried to do different things to prepare my life afterwards, but I was just not sure about it, how it will be. But I did not really work on it. That I said, okay, come on, think positive or whatever. Because I am, and I was always rather positive than, sometimes, of course, realistic, never really negative about things, apart from especially my family. I'm not too good in that. That's the thing. So I did not really, I just accepted it happened, and I hope it will not happen again, but it happened then again. But it was not a long time. Pretty early out when it started, I became a manager of Mainz 05. So I was lucky, like often in my life, I was really lucky that it happened in the right moment.
Looking back, would you wish that you would have dealt with the situation in a different way, or would you say that was exactly the way that helped you getting there?
I think it was exactly the way, but without knowing it. But it's not worth it to think about it too much, because I never had it again. It's not that it comes now in difficult situations. It was that stage of my life where the football career was close to be finished, and the rest of life was close to be started. And I didn't know what to do, and it was a pretty long life then. I hoped a long life for a long life. So being 31, 32, 33, there's a long working life ahead. And my studies were already, I finished studying like five years earlier, made my grades 5 years earlier. And so you cannot really go then in that business, sports science, that's not a real job. You need to be creative to find the right job as well. So that was, I had never had it again. And so that was the period. And I didn't ignore it, but I didn't really work on it as well. It's just, it happened. I felt it. And then I didn't feel it anymore. And I carried on.
Yeah, but I can imagine that it's really a quite challenging situation. I mean, it's different in the world of sports, professional sports, compared to an office job, let me just call it that way, where you really know there's a certain time that runs up, and then you will have to look for a new challenge and a new chapter in your life, which I think must be very, yeah, very challenging and a very special situation. Not a lot of people ever are in such a situation, I believe.
No, that's true. It's a situation, that's how people talk a lot about the money involved in football. But it's like, I don't know, let me say maybe 20% of the footballers earn that much money that you can live the rest of your life from it. So that's maybe 20%. Mm-hmm. But I think that's fair because they are in nothing else that good. The life will change completely. And usually when you are at the stage of 35, when footballers usually finish their career, then you are in another business part, you are in the middle of your career, you make the next step, whatever, if you are good enough in the job you're doing. So the best thing is to come then. And for a footballer from that moment on, from a lot of footballers from that moment on, it goes the other way around. From now on, you will never have that feeling again that you are that good in the job you are doing. Some of us are lucky enough to have that, but it's not for a lot. And all the other 70-80% players, they need to work afterwards, because even when you have a million on your account, but no clue what to do, it's gone. You buy a house, and we all know what houses cost meanwhile, and then you have, I don't know, 500,000. Was left, and then you live from that, and then you have to find something. So I think the boys, the players earn and need the money they earn to do the things they have to do or can do or want to do after career. No money. I had, for me it was clear, when you play for Mainz 05 in that time, like 4 days after career you need to start to work. And that was a big worry for me. I was never a guy who needed luxury things or whatever. A few euro everybody needs, and I had no real idea where I could get them from.
Yeah, very difficult time, I can imagine. In general, I mean, there's a new start, there's change in the life of a soccer player and also in the life of many others. In general, I would say that the whole topic of purpose becomes more and more relevant to organizations, but also to individuals. And often this actually is the key driver for a new strategy or a career change, be it for whatever reason. I mean, for myself, for example, I was leaving the world of business behind, joining an educational foundation as a program lead for 3 years. And yeah, my personal journey of becoming more and more impactful now led me towards leveraging over, I don't know, 14 years of professional experience in many diverse areas abroad and at home. And now as a career and life coach, I help individuals explore their choices and help them make conscious decisions and shape their future actively. What would you say? What does a clear purpose mean to you in your professional and personal life?
Oh, it's important, of course. So it's important, of course. But what you said now about yourself. So actually, that's what life is all about. That you say, okay, I made my experience, and I want to share my experience. So that's how the very start of human beings, when you had no real business and stuff like that, when you, the work was only to survive, so either way find animals to eat or do the farmer stuff to let something grow and stuff like that. If you do that, And then the father is doing it, so the son has to do it as well. So he gives the experience to his son. And that's how the world started, and that's how the world should still be a little bit. Because the careers start now so early. So early means you can make A level with 17 or 18. Eh? So when you finish university, when you're in some parts, if you don't do the master as well, only the bachelor, for example, then you are 22 when you are out there on the market. And you know, obviously, nothing about life really. That's clear. Nobody knew anything about life when he was 22, but you enjoyed life. That's good. But you don't have to. But then you need the other people around. They help you in business, they help you in life. In a family, to your parents, to your sisters, brothers, whatever, they can do that. In business, you need them as well. How I always understood it. It was always that we really have to share experience with each other, that we have to make experience, that we have to create stories, that we have to do all these things. And then if you look back, that we cannot avoid to have a smile in our face, for example, because it was such a nice story or such a nice experience. And that's how it. And so I can only say to you congratulations for doing it, because you did these things for 14 years and I know that you loved it. And then you thought, okay, that's enough. And it can't be all. It cannot be the only thing I want to do for my life. And then suddenly the other way around. But by sharing your experiences. And that's the best thing what we all can do.
True. it was not easy. I mean, I have to admit that deciding to just leave the business world, which I spent most of my time in. I actually was also working for television before, and then in the international telco industry, and then I moved to the NGO. It was a big step, and I had many people around me telling me that this is crazy. I have such a good job, and I'm so perfectly paid, and it's secure, and it's an international global company, and you cannot stop doing this, and. But I was just asking myself, what is it that I really want? I mean, of course, there was a career plan for me with my last employer in the business world. They told me that it's a step this, and then I have to do this to achieve this and that. And they saw me in a certain position that initially I thought, okay, cool, they have a plan. Perfect. They know what I'm good at. But I think the question for me was one day, I mean, it's good to know that I'm good at it, but is that what I want to do for a living? Is that really what makes me happy?
And you also shared how you experienced the time you ask yourself about your professional future after being an active pro and about the next step.
And I think it was also during that time that you accepted the challenge of being a television expert during the World Championship. New setting, cameras everywhere, and the whole of Germany watching you. What was the decisive reason for you to actually attempt this adventure?
Then I got tickets for the World Cup because Mark and Dennis, my two sons, they were desperate to get tickets. And then they asked me all the time. And I said, I cannot sort it. And then the ZDF, the second German television, the ZDF, came around the corner and asked. And my first question was, do I get free tickets then? and he said, looked at me and went, of course. Good, then I will do it. I didn't ask for a second what I do, because it was the solution for the problem with Mark and Dennis. And then we start what how exactly will it be and stuff like that. And it was, we are still friends. Eh? It was Meyer, Johannes Bekerner, and I, we are still friends. So it's it was a very, very, I didn't like it in the first case when people told me that it was my career, because I wanted to be known as a manager, as a football coach, as that stuff. And then most of the people in Germany knew me as a football expert on television, the guy from television. I didn't like it first of all, but I have to admit 100%, it was a life changer for me. It got me a completely different awareness. People saw me in a different way. It was for me, a lucky decision, but it was made because I got ticked.
But that's how life rules sometimes. But at least you had a good motivation and you made something out of it. If you say in the end that was a good experience. Exciting. Thanks for sharing this story. You already put a lot of smiles in our faces, I believe. But I mean, not just in that situation, in this completely new setting. What motivates you when it's really getting tough?
I was looking for challenges for myself. I was a very young manager of mine, and immediately, it looked like some things come easy to me. Let me say it like this: as long as I speak about something I'm interested in, it's not only football, but football is very easy, and some other things, interest in politics, stuff like that. As long as it's not physics, then I can have an opinion at least, and I'm interested in a lot of things, so I can speak. And I wanted to test that, so I started to become kind of I had a lot of requests in my life since I'm a manager for like being a keynote speaker, so like having any wherever about mm-hmm. everything, not mainly when it's about motivation and stuff like that. It's of course leadership and these things, and I had no real clue if I can do that. I know I can do it in front of a football team, but I had no idea if I can do that as well in front of people. I don't know. So I tried it, and I never prepared it. I never. Mm-hmm. I didn't write a word down what I want to say.
Wow.
I just challenged myself, and it went so far that I went there, drove there, stand in front of the door of the building, and called Ulla. Sorry, what's the name of the company? What are they doing? And Ulla, an insurance, it's a, I don't know, a bank, whatever, building company. I said, okay. So, and then I went in and started, if you want, the show. But in these moments, I didn't care if people really like it or not. I said what I wanted to say and was not, that's why I was not a little bit nervous. Because if you want to say what the people want to hear, that's an open question. Know what people really want to hear. That makes you nervous. And I was never nervous in these situations because I said what I had to say and left. And the people liked it most of the time. So then we started doing, then we asked for crazy money, that because I had no time for it, doing that often. And so we asked really for crazy money, and they were ready to pay it because they thought, obviously, I'm really good in that. And I finished it completely. I knew I wanted to know, can I do it? I knew I can do it. So that was enough. And with television as well, it was a little bit like that as well. So just try to do it. But if you want my way, because I have no other way. So I didn't want to be like in that time, like Günter Netzer. Was a world-class player, and since an elder statesman, sensational guy. I know him, I like him, but I cannot be like him. I cannot be like Franz Beckenbauer in the similar situation. So I had to be Jürgen Klopp, and that's what I was. So I spoke about football, and I don't take football too serious as well. Yes, it's my business, but it's still a game. And you cannot handle like a heart operation, a surgery. You cannot. Because it's not that serious. It's just a game. And if you lose it, the world will not end. And if you win it, it will not be that you don't have to work for the rest of your life or whatever. It's not like this. It's a game. And that's how I understand it. And that's how I did it. And that's why I faced that challenge for myself as well. And I had these things from time to time. Just try it and then look if it works or not.
But only to prove yourself that it works or not, or also to figure out if this is something that maybe you add to the stuff that you do in life?
Yeah, but with a football punditry, with talking like football, being a football expert. Yeah. So if I think now about my future, if you want, I don't want to be a manager until I said, like, I don't want to die on the bench out there. So I will not be there when I'm mid-60s or something like that, for sure not. And, of course, I want to do something, and that could be something I'm interested in. Yeah, I have no problem with talking about football, obviously, and doing television. And to be 100% honest, probably, I don't know exactly, but probably will be well paid as well. So why should, and it's easy for me. So why should I not take that opportunity? No, but in that time, I didn't really think about it, if I can do it in the future. Just was a try it now, and then we will see what I think afterwards about it.
Moving abroad, I mean, you now, I think from what I know, moving to Liverpool was the first time that you have left Germany for a longer time. How was this experience like? Was it also like a challenge and you wanted to see if you can do it? And how actually... Yeah, how does it actually feel now, being there for quite some time already?
I was 18 years old. I was for 4 weeks in England by train, Interrail. You're probably too young for that. But you could buy a ticket for 400 mark that time, and it could travel to through whole Europe by train. Brilliant. Don't have to pay anything at all. So I was in England for 4 weeks. And I fell in love with that country in that time because they had bed and breakfast. You know that. So, and it was five pounds. And you slept in any room of a house of any family. It was brilliant. In the morning, you got a breakfast, this English breakfast, where you think sausage in the morning and stuff like that. And how can you do that? Letting strangers in your house, if you want, for 5 pounds. And I really loved it. So, and it was always clear that in that time, I thought I would love to live for some time in England. So, and now it was clear when I left Dortmund that I want to do something different. Bundesliga after 17 years, I knew everybody. I had problems with it on time at least. But it's not a reason for leaving. But I knew everybody, each journalist. So I wanted a new challenge. And then England was pretty much the only real alternative for me because the language. I'm pretty chatty as a manager, and so I need the language. Spanish, apart from ordering a beer, I'm not really good in. French would have been okay. I speak French, understand it very well, don't speak it too well, but could have learned, I'm pretty sure. So, but England was the favorite thing. And I want to really to live in a different culture, and England is different. It's really different. We are far away from each other, but and I love it. I love it here. Meanwhile, I only drink tea. I don't drink coffee anymore. Well,
cool. Was there something that challenged you the most?
For me, of course, the first time in my life, it was important what people think when I say something, because my players, that was all on a language issue, if you want. So it's really important that it's not, they don't, English people don't expect perfection from a not native speaker. They take three words and make a sentence of it. They're used to that because they don't speak any foreign language. But for me, of course, the challenge was that I bring the message to the players. That was really important. And I was not sure about that in the beginning, but that worked then out pretty quickly. And the players helped me a lot. I told them, if you don't understand what I say, please show up let's try the other way around, because the message is important. And so we have to make sure that you get it. That was the challenge. Apart from that, the job is different. In Germany, being a head coach, and in England, being a manager, is the difference is around about 6 hours a day.
Oh, wow.
on top, unfortunately. Sorry, not less. And so that's and especially in the beginning, England or football in England is an email culture. So now getting 100 emails or more a day in a language which is you feel the pressure to answer each of these emails. The days were really, really intense from the beginning. But meanwhile, all settled. I know meanwhile which email is important and which not, and all that stuff. It's all good now. After 4 years.
But it seems like it was just another challenge for you to prove yourself that you can do it. And it worked out. So that I would call a success. May I end with one last question? In all these years that you have followed your path, I mean, you had your dream and you made it there. What surprised you the most?
That it worked out in that way is a surprise for me. To be 100% honest, because I didn't expect that. I didn't expect that when I dreamed of being a football manager, I never had in my mind winning the Champions League. So it's like my talent as a football player was not enough. I didn't even dream of being a German international, for playing for the German national team, because it was not reachable for me. So I didn't dream of it. My career was what it was. I think I really think I made pretty much all of it. I squeezed everything out of my career. So I was not talented for more. And now it looks like, yes, I'm much more talented for the job I'm doing now. That's true. But I never thought about becoming German champion, winning the cup in Germany, and being a Champions League winning coach, I never thought of it. I'm surprised that it's that it worked. That's true. Because I don't think you can plan things like this. Now, with my experience, and I only have this real experience by myself, I know I didn't plan it. So for me, it sounds like I don't think it's you can plan it, but maybe other people can it. I don't know. But for me, it was my career is for me a real surprise.
Yeah, and an amazing one. So you were just mentioning a couple of great wins. So congrats from my end. And yeah, I can only say all the best for everything that comes up. I think you have mentioned somewhere that you're considering a longer break. I was lucky to already experience that in my life, 1 year really traveling the world. I would of course be curious to know how you are going to plan or are going to spend your time, but I'm not sure if you are going to answer to that question.
I can't, because I will be not involved in that plans, because that's all about Ulla. And professional football is a very demanding thing. You have exactly 3, 4, 5 weeks, depends to the season. Summer break, that's it. So well, it's other people tell you, now you have to make, you cannot go on holiday when you feel you need holiday, for example. So, and that, and living together with a football manager on the level I'm on now, and the work, the time I invest in work is really a lot. And if I don't work, I think about work. So it's not always a joy, let me say it like this. And we have a clear agreement. In the moment when we make the break, Ulla will tell me where we go. I will follow.
So that is the next adventure coming up for Jürgen. Amazing. I wish you a lot of fun and exciting time ahead. Thanks so much for sharing all this, Jürgen. It was a pleasure talking to you. And I hope to see you again soon. And all the best until then.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've enjoyed this episode? Yay. It would be amazing if you would leave me a review or star rating. Thanks a lot for listening. All the best to you and colorful regards from Düsseldorf in Germany.